this is Mary J. Blige.
I'm Nicki Minaj.
What's up? This is Jay-Z.
From London, England and Washington, D.C., you are now tuned in to Conversations with Allison J. The Journey to Here. Brought to you by Ethel May Books. This is Conversations with Allison J. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Conversations with Allison J., The Journey to Here. Today, as always, we have another captivating and thought-provoking topic and guest. Here's your host, Allison J.
Hello, and welcome to Conversations with Allison J., The Journey to Here. I'm your host, Allison J. Today, we have with us Rosalind Sadaka. Rosalind is the founder of the Child-Centered Divorce Network, a divorce and co-parenting coach, an author of numerous books, e-courses, and programs on divorcing with children and co-parenting successfully. She's also the host of the Divorce Dating and Empowered Living radio show and podcast. Today, Rosalind and I are going to be having a conversation on the importance of parents coming together after a breakup, separation, divorce, and giving some useful, helpful, educational tips on how to successfully co-parent. Rosalind, thank you for joining us on Conversations with Allison J, The Journey to Here. Welcome, Rosalind. So, Rosalind, thank you so much for joining me here on Conversations with Allison J. There are many topics in life and subjects that I am very passionate about. One of them is the effects of divorce on children. And with all the best will in the world, I don't think we're going to be able to get away from there being divorce.
Right.
However, we can mitigate and do some kind of damage control. Because one of the things, a quote that I read many, many years ago by Frederick Douglass is, it's easier to raise strong children than repair broken men.
Totally true.
So if divorce and the effects of a divorce on a child is something that leads towards a man being broken, then Rosalind, what can we do?
So are we doing the recording now?
Yes.
I didn't realize that. Okay, well, that's wonderful. So what can we do? We need to be aware that we need to be respectful of one another, our partners, our former partners, and we need to hone and really master good communication skills, because most of the problems in life have to do with communication skill problems. We misunderstand, we misinterpret, we misconstrue, and very often innocent conversations turn ugly and toxic because of these factors, because our communications is off, or we have erroneous expectations of one another, or we jump too soon to conclusions. And when we're dealing with a divorce where there's already tension and stress between the two adults, it gets so much more complicated because innocent children are involved and both parents want to justify and say, well, everything I'm doing is for the sake of the kids. I love my children.
Right.
Both of them are saying that. And then both of them are just going and hitting each other and creating craziness in the home environment. And it's not divorce per se that harms the children. It's how parents handle the divorce that does all the damage.
That's an interesting point because it's not even just divorce. It's just when parents separate.
Right.
Because there are many people, unfortunately, that I know that are, they've gone through a split up and separation, and the animosity between the two of them to start with. And there's very rarely that I've seen either an acrimonious divorce or an acrimonious split that has resulted in a healthy coming together for the child. Forget about what's going on between them. And it's very rare that I've seen that. So what are some of the challenges, the greatest challenges that divorcing and divorced parents face relating to their children?
Well, the most important is that children are innocent victims always. Even if you're fighting about the children, it's certainly not their fault. And so children are emotionally and psychologically damaged by the environment, the emotional and psychological environment around them, much more than the physical environment. So they're damaged, especially by conflict. Studies have proven again and again that the most damaging aspect of all is children being exposed to conflict. So that means fighting around the children. That means fighting in the other room, fighting on the phone, fighting around the corner when you're picking up the kids. And also bad-mouthing one another to other people. So if you're criticizing and diminishing your ex-partner to the children, or you're talking to your friend on the phone about what a jerk he is, and you're making subtle comments or eye rolls and gestures about their other parent, kids pick up on all of it, and they feel very guilty. Because all children love both parents, even if both parents aren't good parents, children are attached to them and love them. And so when you badmouth one parent and make the other parent seem like they're not a good person, it hurts the children. And it also makes them wonder whether you're saying that and doing that behind their back, or whether one day you will leave your child for not being good or perfect. And so it brings up a lot of issues, and children don't have the capacity to share what they're feeling. So you can't say, well, my child never talks about that, so I don't think it's bothering them. Mm. Kids don't speak to us about the issues that hurt them the most. They don't want to hurt you. They don't know how to express it. They're caught between. Very often they feel very guilty. On many levels, they blame themselves. So it's a combination of so many things working together to create deep wounds for the children. And sometimes parents are just oblivious.
And it's funny, interesting, I should say, not funny, what you said about bad mouthing the other parent and so on. Because I remember many years ago, it was one of the, we're talking about close to 20 years ago, I was in a relationship. That was the first kind of relationship I'd ever been in where I was dating someone that had their child every single weekend. Mm-hmm. So I was new to the whole blended family, step-parent, for want of a better word. And the child's mother just kept doing things and doing things and doing things. And it's not because I was being biased because I was in the relationship with the person. If one of my friends or a stranger had told me about the things this woman was doing, I would clearly say, okay, this is ridiculous. It's damaging. It's harmful. And I remember, I didn't realize that his son could hear, and I said something. And then obviously, so then his son went back and told the mother. Then the next thing you know, the mother's calling him up, and it's a full-blown argument. And then I'm arguing, he's arguing, she's arguing. And then this child's there in the next room. And because we put him in the next room, not thinking he can hear, and it turned into such a mess that 20 plus years later, I still feel like, oh my gosh, what did we do?
Yeah. And you're right, because it is. It's very damaging. And so often, child psychologists parents will bring troubled kids who are acting out and bullying or getting the feeling that they may be suicidal and damaged in many ways. Parents will bring them to the psychologist, fix my child. And when the psychologist talks to these children, they find out that there was a divorce 3, 5, 8, 10, 15 years ago that never was handled properly, or a breakup that was never handled properly. And the parents were fighting, and children pick up, blame themselves, get angry at one or both parents, act out because they don't know how to handle the emotions that they're feeling. And it all started with this breakup that wasn't handled properly, the separation not handled properly. So parents need to be very, very aware of what they're telling their children, and listening to what the children are feeling, and acknowledging the children, and let the children say what they're feeling and not judge them. Make it okay, because A lot of children are angry at the parents about the breakup, about the way one parent's treating the other parent, about how their life has changed and they're innocent and suddenly they have to go through so many hoops and their lives are dramatically changed. So much happens to them. And we want to diminish it because our lives are complicated and falling apart. And so don't bother me with your little problems, but those problems are huge for children. So the first thing we need to do is get down on their eye level.
Yeah.
And talk to them and say, let me know how you feel. It's okay to say what you feel, even if they're saying, I hate you, mommy or daddy. Let them express what they're feeling and then see if there's a way that you could help them either cope or find a way that you can make changes and shifts so that things are better for them. But it's up to us as parents to take the initiative. And I always remind clients that it's never too late to change something you've done. If you know you've made a mistake, you've said something you regret, you did something you regret that you know now that wasn't in anyone's best interest, let your child know, mommy made a mistake. Yeah. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. I hope you can forgive me. Mm-hmm. Because it role models for your children that we're human beings, we make mistakes, even parents make mistakes, and we acknowledge our mistakes. Your children will learn from that. If you never acknowledge your mistakes, what are you teaching your children?
Yeah. And it's true that you can, so that a parent can just, you know, put their hand up and say, look, I shouldn't have said that. I was angry and, you know, I didn't mean it. I was angry. So to your point, that lets a child know that there may be times that you do say something in anger. But it's acknowledging that and realizing that, no, that was just out of anger. That's not really how I feel. I shouldn't have said that. Because many times I find that's the thing. When people say something out of anger, they then live with the guilt of it. Whereas if they were just open up and say, it was just the anger speaking. That's all it was. And then children will then learn that also.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's such an important thing to remember, that we are role models for our children every minute of our lives, every minute we're with and around them. They learn more from what we do than what we say. So it's not about lecturing. It's about role modeling. And how are we showing them how to handle conflict in life? Conflict happens. Relationship problems happen with friends and family and neighbors and teachers and other people in our lives. And so a breakup is just another example of that. And we are modeling skills in handling conflict, handling challenges, handling difficult people. The more parents focus on learning some ways of doing that better, the better off the children will be, certainly.
Mm. And you said something that reminded me of something I sent around a couple years ago, probably about 2 years ago on Father's Day. I'm one of these people, I like to get a picture and then get those apps and then you put the writing over it. And the one that I created and I had sent out to fathers was a picture of a man and his child. And I said, always remember, our children will not be doing as we say, they will do as we do.
Exactly. So important. And it's hard for us to remember. We don't want to hear that as parents because we're not always perfect. But the more we can own that and be real with our children, the more we give them permission to be able to do that too and own up to their mistakes. And boy, that's such an important trait for an adult to have.
Yes. And so would you say are some of the major co-parenting don'ts that negatively impact our children?
Okay. So number one is conflict. Never fight around or within earshot of your children. Mm-hmm. Number two is never talk badly about their other parent, even if you feel it's justified and true. Confide in your children adult information. Don't turn your children into confidants. Children, even teenagers, are not old and mature enough to understand the complexities of, if we could understand the complexity, we wouldn't be in the messes we're in. How can we expect our children to unravel them? So you speak to a therapist or a coach or a minister or someone that you respect, but you don't talk to your children, and you never confide adult information, even if it's very difficult and damaging. You don't talk about affairs and addictions and other things, because it robs children of their childhood. Once a child is privy to the complexity that you're dealing with in your emotional life, they are little parents for you. Suddenly children are parenting their parents, which is horrendous for children.
Yeah, and it's such a burden, too big a responsibility for a child to have to feel like they have to now move into that role. I need to make sure mommy's okay because daddy did this. I need to make sure daddy's okay because mommy did this. And that is so vitally important what you're saying. But something that you said there that really struck me, where you say that the parent shouldn't speak to the child about what's going on, they should find someone. I think one of the key things is that the parents should talk, not necessarily to each other, but they have to find somebody to talk to, because I don't think it's healthy that you're going through this situation. Because I've been through a divorce, and it was, fortunately, I did have people in my life that I could go to and offload and share it with. And so, but that's one of the things. If there is somebody that they talk to, they wouldn't have to put that burden of responsibility on their child.
Absolutely. And also, you want to get professional advice from people who are experienced and knowledgeable about these things, not from your neighbor, not from your cousin or your friend, because they mean well.
But they're biased,
and they don't necessarily have the best advice. Just because your best friend had a divorce a certain way doesn't mean that's the way you should be doing it. So you need to reach out. First of all, you want someone to vent to, so that you could just scream and yell and cry and do whatever you're needing to do to handle your emotions away from children. Mm-hmm. And then you want someone that you could confide to and get sound advice. And sometimes it's the same person and sometimes it's different people. But you want to get advice so that you can move ahead in the best possible way. And you want to be learning skills, because there are better and worse ways of doing everything.
Yeah.
You don't have to learn by trial and error, because especially online today, there's so much information. I have a free ebook on co-parenting. I have tons of courses and programs, so that if one can't afford to get personal coaching, you can get online articles and information and courses and programs to take you step by step by step through the processes, so that you're feeling that you're making progress and you're doing better. And also to learn how to talk to your co-parent, because that's going to be the best gift you can give to one another, is some level of communication, because a lot of times parents don't realize that co-parenting is a lifelong endeavor. You never outgrow that. Even when your children are adults, you're co-parenting still. And so you want to be there for the birthdays and the holidays and the graduations and the marriages and the grandkids. And so you're looking decades ahead. This isn't about messing things up for 2 or 3 years or 5 years. This is decades and decades of parenting. And children are attached to both parents and should have access to both parents as much as possible. And so you want to learn the skills so that you could be a mature, responsible adult in the same room as your co-parent for a graduation ceremony, for a wedding ceremony, for these happy occasions that take place. Mm-hmm. And I get so angry at parents who put their children in the position where they have to struggle and be embarrassed because mom and dad don't want to be in the same room for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And shame on those parents.
And you hear those stories, and you do see that where, like, the children have had to have two Christmases. Yes. So it's on one Christmas on Christmas Day, another Christmas on Boxing Day or December 26th, or because they have to have one so that mum can come, one so that dad can come. And it's just the case of, again, even though the children are older, you're still putting that burden of responsibility on your children to really accommodate you.
That's right. It's selfish. It's all about accommodating you selfishly. And I spend a lot of time talking to clients early on, because if you get that message right before the divorce or during the divorce or immediately after the divorce, then you're not going to make these ridiculous mistakes that hurt your children. You say you love your children, then what you want to give them is peace. Life is difficult enough without adding your emotional drama into their laps. They didn't cause the divorce. This is your issue, and you need to handle it without putting extra burden on them.
Absolutely. And that is so key and so important. And it just does, it really does make me wonder, now that you've mentioned it, that these parents that are fighting the way they're fighting or not communicating, it just makes me wonder, have you actually ever stopped to wonder what you're teaching your child about A, relationships? Have you stopped to wonder what you're teaching your child about, should your child ever get to the stage where they get married and it doesn't work? You're actually teaching your child how to handle that should it, God forbid, it ever happen to them.
Mm-hmm. Totally right. And we have to be thinking that way and understanding that. So when we get these parents early on and they're not so filled with ego and justification of being right that they can't be able to meld and bend and cooperate and collaborate for the sake of the children that they supposedly love, it's shame on them, because they're destroying lives. And I see it, every day, month after month, year after year. But the Child-Centered Divorce Network is all about catching people as early on as possible, letting them know the pros and cons and the do's and the don'ts, so that they make better decisions, wiser decisions, more compassionate decisions on behalf of the children they love. You don't have to like or respect your co-parent or your ex, but you have to behave in a way that's not going to be harmful to your children. So another big don't is, don't make your children not only confidants, but don't make them messengers in your relationship. Don't be giving them the message, mommy's going to be 2 hours late, tell daddy to pick you up at 7 instead of 5. Well, that needs to be in an online co-parenting tool, scheduling tool, so that the information is clear and it's there. And we don't have to trust your child, regardless of their age, to get the information right and not mess it up. It's not their responsibility. So they shouldn't be confidants. They shouldn't be messengers. They shouldn't be told adult information. And they shouldn't be privy to what's going on in the complexity of your relationships. Let them be children and enjoy their childhood. It's complicated enough for them to be doing that.
And even as you say that, just growing up and being a child without divorced parents hanging over you, that in itself is hard enough.
Of course.
So you've spoken about the co-parenting don'ts. Let's talk about the do's that are crucial to know about to create a positive outcome for everyone in the family.
Yes. So one thing is to remember that when you do one another favors, you're doing both of you a favor, because co-parenting lasts forever. It's lasts the rest of your life, and especially in the years when your children are still under college age and they're home with you. And so when everyone who splits up and gets a divorce has a parenting plan, and you make agreements about this and that and these days and that those days, well, life doesn't fit plans and formulas. And so The parenting plan is a good guideline to get you started, but you have to understand people are going to get sick, accidents happen, job issues develop, and you're going to call up your ex and say, hey, I need to switch off next week or next Saturday for Friday. I need to do this. Can we do this? Yes, you can, because it's going to happen to you the same way. And parents who say, no, this date is my day, you can't do it no matter what, you're setting yourself up for problems down the line, because it's going to get uglier and uglier when you're both playing tit for tat and saying no to one another. So learn to cooperate, to collaborate. It'll improve the relationship and you'll both benefit. life is complicated. You need favors from one another, and you need to be nice to one another. I also highly recommend these online scheduling tools. One that I like a lot is called twofamilies.com. It's less expensive than a lot of the others, but it keeps the relationship clean and less conflict because everything is written down. Not only are your email communications there in writing and clear, but you have medical information and school information and history and sizes of clothing and all the kinds of things that both parents need to access from time to time. It's all in one place. It's very economical, and it reduces conflict on many, many levels. Mm-hmm. Again, you want to be learning communication skills. There's ways of talking to one another. So we don't point the finger and say, you did this, and start the conversation that way, because immediately we're on the defensive. We want to use I language, meaning I was feeling very hurt when you said that to Timmy. I didn't like knowing that you did this without asking me. When you start with an I, you're taking responsibility and owning how you're feeling, and it's an easier way to have a conversation. And then you could ask questions. Would you have liked it if I did that? How would you feel about if we do it differently? Mm-hmm. You want to have a dialogue, a back and forth, rather than just pointing the finger and making the other person the bad person. And then you also want to pick your battles. Mm-hmm. Your ex, your co-parent, is not going to parent exactly the way you do. And so know that now. They're going to break some of your rules or some of your shoulds. The child should never have a snack after 8 o'clock, or they should never go to bed after 10 o'clock, or whatever your rules are. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be different than the other parent's house sometimes. It's great. The more you can agree, makes life easier for the children. But if you don't, pick your battles. Your child isn't going to die if they have a snack when you wouldn't have given them a snack. Because if you pick on every little thing, when you get to the important things, it's not going to seem any more important. Mm. There's a difference between fighting about ice cream and fighting about immunizations and fighting about discipline problems when your child is called to the principal's office. You want to be able to decide when you need one another and when you should relax about certain things. And I have a wonderful question that I suggest that clients ask both of each other. Both parents should ask each other this question. When parenting issues come up, which is inevitable if you're a parent, there's going to be questions and issues, and you say to yourself, would I be making the same answer and decision if we were still married? Mm. Or if we were still a couple, would I be making the same decision if we were still a couple? So if your answer is yes, I always feel this way about that situation, and Sean should not be doing that because you and I never approve of that. That's one thing. If you're making a decision where you know your ex is going to hate that decision, but it's a way of really getting in at them and hurting them, or deciding to do something because you know that's just the weakest point they have and it's going to create pain, then you're not parenting in a pure way for the sake of the children. You're parenting instead to hurt your ex, and that's not parenting. So let that be a guideline for you in making these parenting decisions. The more you can talk together and agree, the better off your kids are and the more peaceful life is going to be. And I'm telling you, you want to go for as much peace as you can, because life throws enough blows at us without adding peace and adding conflict and drama and craziness to the equation. Mm. It affects your health. It affects your state of mind. It affects your physical deterioration. It affects everything. And it definitely affects your children on an emotional, psychological basis.
Yes, yes, that is so key. And I like what you said there. Are you parenting to hurt your ex? And I think if more people actually heard that term, that expression, I think some things would actually change and people would really start to reflect on their behavior and what they're doing. It's like, because you know something, you could dislike your ex as much as you want to dislike your ex, but if you're going to use your child to hurt that ex, can you really, in all honesty, say, I love my child?
Exactly.
Because that's not love being exhibited, is it?
Right. That's right. It comes from selfishness. It comes from greediness. It comes from vindictiveness and resentfulness. You know, we, a lot of us have been very hurt in relationships. And there's a part of us that just wants to hurt that other person who hurt us. And we understand that. That's why we talk to coaches or therapists, so that we could work on that, because it's understandable. No one is saying you should deny that you were hurt. But when it affects your children, when your decisions are affecting your children, then suddenly innocent beings are being impacted by that. And you're not making the best decision for everyone in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a price to pay for that. And it's a deep wound. So you don't want to go there. There's another great question that I like to ask clients to keep in mind, and that is, what will my children say about how we both handled the divorce or the breakup when our children are grown adults? What will they say about how we handled it when they are grown adults? Children hold a lot of resentfulness towards parents when they're grown adults. A lot of them are very angry at parents. Mm-hmm. They know they were lied to. They know they were manipulated. They know they were coerced.
Mm.
They know that one parent said bad things about the other parent, and the other parent didn't turn out to be that evil person that they were told. Children, as adults, get very angry. So do you want to have a healthy relationship with your children when they're adults, or do you want them to hate you for the way you behaved all those years ago? And there's many studies where children of divorce and breakup talk about the emotional impact they're having as a result of that conflict. So if you get to think about that now, then it can stop you in your tracks from making a decision. Oh, it feels so good to do something that I know is going to get back at my ex. But at what price? What is the cost going to be? Maybe I'll bite my tongue. Maybe I won't do that because I know it's going to hurt my kids. And that is what I call being a mature, responsible adult.
That is so good. And it takes me back to the point, it's easier to raise strong children than to repair broken adults.
Absolutely.
Because there's so many times that you've seen it and you know it has to be a real thing if you're seeing it in the movies, where you do see those ones where the child has a bad relationship with one parent, literally because the way that parent treats them, the way they saw that the one parent treat the other one, and that, but hold on, now that I've gotten to know them, so in some cases, you kept me away from my father, or you kept me away from my mother, and I've gotten to know them, and they told me something different. And then as time goes on, the other parent admits, oh, you know, it's because of this, that, and the other. And it's just like, you need to see past your hurt, you need to see past your pain, because the moment that you bring a child into the relationship, it's no longer about you.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to talk to a professional who's compassionate and experienced with relationships and breakups, because then they understand what you're feeling. What you're feeling is real. The hurt and the pain is real. You need time and skills to get past it. Weaving your children into the drama of it all is not helpful for anyone. And that's where we make a mistake that we very often regret for the rest of our lives. And it's so much better to be aware of that now. Find skills to handle what you're feeling to start with without getting your children enmeshed in it. And you will really be grateful for that. And I had a divorce when my son was 11 years old, and which was the catalyst for my founding the Child-Centered Divorce Network and writing my book, How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce, and creating all the programs and courses that I created. It all was a result of my own divorce. And when my son was in his early 20s, he came to me out of the blue one day and he said, you know, Ma, you and Daddy did a really, really good job with the divorce. And I just wanted to thank you, because most of my friends whose parents divorced either hate their parents or are very angry at them. and I think you and Daddy were great. And I just let out such a sigh of relief because I was holding on to so much guilt, as most parents do. Did I mess my child up? And is this going to destroy his life? And that was the moment when I decided to found the Child Centered Divorce Network and start doing the work, became a coach, and focused on helping parents prevent the mistakes that are preventable so that they can have an easier transition for themselves and especially for the children in the divorce process or a breakup process. Because it doesn't matter whether you were married or not, what matters is the relationship with the children.
That's good. So just let me ask you, divorce and co-parenting, the conflict that can be created, and it can often be very, very heightened conflict. If we don't keep it at bay, how can co-parents minimize conflict with one another?
Being able to talk and confide in one another, because you're parents first and you're going to have issues with kids. Kids are kids. Kids act out. Kids test the waters all the time. The best kids are challenging. And then you could have difficult kids, or you could have added to their lives, making them more angry or resentful. So it's important to have a relationship where you could talk to your other parent about the business of raising your children. And that's what co-parenting is about. You're not in a love relationship, but you're in a forever relationship in the business of raising those children. And very often you're going to marry again or have another relationship. So there's going to be other spouses and there's going to be an extended family and maybe other siblings coming into the picture. Mm-hmm. You need to learn the skills of handling all of that and being able to talk about it between everyone in the family and respect one another for their differences without biting each other and fighting each other and adding to the conflict. So learning skills of communication and skills of being flexible and accepting and cooperating are all very positive steps to helping you in every facet of life, and especially when you're dealing with these big conflicts. And then learning how to look for signs in your children that something is up. Very often, children who are distressed by a breakup will have changes in their school situations. Their grades are going down. Or some children will act out, become bullies, aggressive, suddenly breaking rules and laws that are part of the parenting relationship. And other children will turn in and become very depressed and suicidal and quiet, or revert to bedwetting or other stages from an earlier time. Either way, they're both examples. It just depends on the personality of your child. But either way, when your child changes from their norm, they're screaming out for help, but they don't know how to express it. Even teenagers don't really know how to express the pain they're feeling. So parents have to be very diligent. You have to be looking and aware for changes. And when you address the changes quickly, then there is something that you could handle. If you wait years and years, like I said earlier, and then you're taking your child to a child psychologist 5 years after the breakup, it's so much more difficult because these children, the hurt and the pain has been entrenched in those children's hearts and souls for so long. Mm-hmm. So you want to capture things quickly. And let your child know that you're there to answer questions and be there for them. And one very important thing we didn't mention is to remind children that they are not at all to blame or responsible for a breakup. Yeah. Divorce or breakup of any kind. It's never the children's fault. Even if you're fighting about the children, it's never the children's fault. We also want to tell children that this is about mom and dad, or the two parents not having, being able to handle a relationship and deciding that life would be better if we break apart into two separate homes. But we're still your parents. We're still mom, dad. And we'll always be there. Children can start to believe that maybe if I'm not a good child, mom or dad will divorce me. They divorced each other. And it creates a lot of tension in their lives. So we want to remind children that we will love them always. Mom and dad will always love you. Mom and dad will always be your parents. And that this is about change, and change is okay and natural in life. We change grades in school. We change haircuts. We change fashion styles. We change friends. We change sports. There's so much in life that changes naturally. Yeah. This is a change in the form of our family. So we're no longer living at this address in this house together. Now mom and dad have two different addresses. And sometimes you're visiting mom, sometimes you're visiting dad. And of course, with gay families, it's two moms or dads. Regardless, the fact is that that change is taking place, and it doesn't matter. Sorry about that. It doesn't matter about that change, because what's important is that we are handling the change, and that mom and dad are stepping up to the plate and taking care of the relationship and making sure that the family is going to move ahead and life is going to be okay. And that's what we want to leave the children with, the message that mom and dad are taking care of it. It's not your responsibility to fix this mess.
Yeah.
We're in charge, and we're doing it. As soon as you abscond that, your child's going to step up and become a little mom or a little dad. And we have the little mother or father parenting their parents, and that's very emotionally damaging for children.
Wow. So, but what would you say? So you've given some really great tips on how to minimize conflict with what parents may have with each other. But what do you do in situations where the parents just do not get on and they just will not speak to each other? They will not communicate. Yeah. And all the communication is nonverbal.
Yeah.
What could be done
unfortunately, that happens, and that's called parallel parenting rather than co-parenting, because you're not interacting with one another, and you're leading two separate lives, so to speak, because you're not even talking about the children, and the children have to deal with that however it's working out. But it is valuable, again, to have one of those online co-parenting tools, so that anything that happens, if the child has a fever and you took them to the emergency room, the other parent should have the right and the obligation to know about that. And if you can't make a simple phone call to one another because you're going to get into a conflict after three words, then you have this communication that's always there. And it's open for professionals to look in on, so that it keeps the communication clean. So you're not emailing curses to one another and picking on each other. You're just focusing on the facts, the details that the other parent needs to know. So that's one way of handling it. And you need to remind your child that you love them regardless of what they're hearing in the other house, because one parent can be breaking all the rules, bad-mouthing you, telling terrible lies, and the child is filled with that information again and again and again. They have to feel and see and notice the contrast and know that when they're in your house, life is different than when we're in the other house. And there's not a thing you can do about it, but you just have to remind them about your love and try to have as much communication through cell phones and video chats and other things like that as you possibly can in between. But it's a challenge. That's where so many therapists come into play, who are in the trenches working on this, because those parents make life more difficult for the children.
Yeah. Yes, and if only they would realize, going back to a point we made earlier, it's not about you.
Yes.
Wow. And you say in your book and in your coaching, be a co-parenting hero. What does that mean?
So that means taking all the advice we've been talking about and stepping up and doing it, even if your other parent is not following the same pattern. So don't demean the other parent who may be demeaning you and putting you down. Don't go that direction. Take the high road, because your children are learning and role modeling from one or the other of you, and they're more likely to choose you if you're giving them a family sense of peace and love and harmony when they're with you, rather than tension and craziness when they're in the other home. They'll pick up on the contrast. They may not pick up on it the first year, and it may be a struggle for you for several years, But as I said, when they're grown adults, children will understand and hold responsible the parents who are really breaking the rules and creating more havoc. In the meantime, you want to be the best parent you can be, mm-hmm. but you don't want to be confiding in your children. There's so much you want to say to them, but it isn't their place to understand it and have to deal with it. So bite your tongue, talk to your confidants, someone who you respect, who can give you advice, and parent and parent and parent as lovingly as you can, because they will pick up on that. They will see the difference and feel the difference. And remember that children gravitate towards love and security. So if they're feeling secure in your environment, that's the place they're going to want to be. And that's the parent they're going to want to be with because of that.
That's an interesting point. The children, they gravitate towards where they feel safe.
Yes.
That is very interesting. And that just leads me now to think, you know, sometimes when you hear of a child wanting to live with one parent, but they don't want to say that because they don't want to upset the other parent, that could just be because that's where they feel the most safe.
Exactly. Yes. Safety, security, and love are so vitally important for children. And they do. They gravitate in that direction. And they pick up on honest love. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We have parents who have more money than the other parent, who will buy things for the children and take them on trips and do things. And on some level, you can't blame a child for being totally engrossed in loving all of that, because it's a wonderful feeling to have all of that. But on a deeper level, their hearts do pick up on what's most important in life and trying to have as much. We all want peace in life. Mm-hmm. We all want to feel heard, accepted, and loved. And children will do anything to be loved. So don't make it hard for them. Embrace them and accept them and let them know that it's okay for them to share what they're feeling. Because when they're going through this kind of drama, they're feeling a lot of things that are very confusing for them. And we want to make it as easy for them as possible. But we don't want to be judging them for feeling a way that we don't want them to be feeling. We want to be able to listen and say, I respect your right to feel that way. I wish you felt a little more like this, but I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand how you could feel that way. And that's the same way we could talk to our former relationship partner as well. By saying, I understand that you feel differently than me, and I could understand how you could feel that way. I wish you would feel differently and listen to what I'm saying, but you do have the right to feel differently. And that sets boundaries for us to still parent together, even if we're different in certain ways that we feel and believe.
That is good. That is so good, because when you look at it and you just think that these children, going back to the point you made about how it will manifest itself in children, they'll either act out or act in.
Yes. Yes. And we don't want them to have to go to either, because those are extremes. Mm-hmm. Those are children crying out for help. And if the earlier you catch that, the quicker it can be handled and remedied, and reminding them that they are loved and valued and important, and we're going to work this out. We're going to find a solution. And then you can. There are skill sets to do that. There are people to see. There's ways of getting the help you want. We're living in an age where access to help is very, very available. We just have to open our hearts and our souls to saying, I need some support, I need some help, so that I can do this better, because I don't want to hurt the children I love.
That is so true, because, and to your point, in this day and age, there really is no point to be ignorant. Not even point, that's not the right words. There is no excuse of being ignorant in this day and age, where everybody has a computer in their hand, their phone. In fact, I remember when I was younger, my mother bought the encyclopedia set. and it took up the bookshelves floor to ceiling. I now have that entire thing in the palm of my hand in the form of my phone. Exactly. So there really is no excuse to people being ignorant or not seeking the help. And would you say that a lot of the times the reason that people don't seek the help is just pride, and they're just blinded to what they're feeling?
Yes. Yes. A lot of self-righteousness and right fighting and refusing to hear anything the other person says because they're so angry at that other person. But the children are paying the price when that happens. And I have a ton of free information on my website, childcenteddivorce.com, just tons of blog posts and articles and a free ebook and video interviews and dozens and dozens of interviews with me on different topics. So there's so much information that's available just in that one place alone that can help parents when you have an issue that comes up. Should I do this? Should I do that? There's support and there's help for you. So never feel that you're alone, and understand that whatever problems you're having, other people have had them too.
Yeah, there's nothing new under the sun.
Yes.
Nothing new. So can you repeat your website again for the listeners, please?
It's childcenteddivorce.com. I'm founder of the Child Centered Divorce Network for Parents, and everything we do there supports parents before, during, and long after a divorce or a breakup so that they have the best information. It's all about protecting the children you love.
And that is the key that we're missing the trick on. It is about the children you love. It's not about you. It's not even about the issue that caused the divorce, really. When it comes to, you two can work that out amongst yourselves. But when it comes to making sure that your child is okay, because it was something you said that being in co-parenting, that some of the negative behaviors are not helpful, but they're also not healthy.
Yes.
They are
very true.
And sorry, you were saying.
It's very true. And we want to strive for healthy behavior. We, you know, there are parenting classes and courses, and good parenting is good parenting regardless. So learning how to be a good parent is always important and always valuable and always useful for us. And learning to pick your battles so that you're not in constant struggle and conflict with your other, with your ex, will make a big difference in creating more peace and harmony for the family. Because I believe, and I tell my clients, that we are a family and we'll continue to be a family. Even if mom and dad get remarried to someone else, your family still is there on some level. It's just extended, it's expanded, it's changed form. But those parents are still the parents of those children and always will be. And we have to remember that and take responsibility for that.
Yes. And can you just mention again some of the resources that are available for parents that now find themselves in the position of co-parenting?
Yes. So on the homepage at childcenteddivorce.com, I have a free ebook on post-divorce parenting, success strategies for getting it right. So there's a lot of the kinds of tips that we've been talking about today there. Easy to read, easy to share with your former partner so that you're both on the same page. I also have a wonderful ebook on breaking divorce news to children, which I highly recommend getting as early on as possible, because I have 6 psychotherapists who contribute to the book. And we talk about getting both parents on the same page to break the divorce news together, to understand the important messages children need to hear. There are 6 key messages. And then to leave the children in the right mindset. And I do that by creating a storybook with family photos and texts that I've written in age-appropriate language, so that the children can read that over and over again in the weeks and months after the initial conversation, reminding them that this divorce while it's frightening and it's confusing, it's not the end of the world because mom and dad are taking care of it and it's going to work out okay. And then we help parents make the right decisions so it does work out okay. And that's the important thing that parents need to know. Then I have a book on co-parenting effectively, and they're all on the home page. You could see, and also if you click on the coaching button, there's lots of different resources that are available there. I have a 10-hour audio coaching program for people who don't want to read but would rather listen to my talking to a group of parents on 10-week basis. And each week there's a workbook, and each week parents can include the information that the answers to questions that are relevant for them so that they evolve in their co-parenting skills. So there's really a lot of information there. And I do personal one-on-one coaching as well. And people can reach me at my name, Rosalind, R-O-S-A-L-I-N-D, at childcenteddivorce.com.
Excellent. Rosalind, thank you so much. This has been very educational and informative for me. And I'm sure the same goes for our listeners. Thank you so much for the time and the work that you do to make sure that we are raising healthy children so that we don't have to repair broken adults.
Thank you. I appreciate the work you're doing. It's a pleasure talking with you.
Andy, thank you so much, Rosalind. And just quickly before we go, so where can people find you? So you've given your email address, but and they can also reach out to you through the web address you've given,
Child-centered with an ED at the end, childcenteddivorce.com. Everything is there in one place. So you can find me and find all the resources available. And there's lots of free information as well as coaching services and ebooks and e-courses so that everyone can find just what they need at the right time.
Wonderful. Rosalind, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
For me as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care now.
Thank you for spending time with us. We're already looking forward to the next episode of This is Conversations with Allison J. The journey to here. Until next time, honor, respect, and blessings to you all. If you want to connect, visit AllisonJ.net. That's AllisonJaye.net. Allison with one L, as she is the one and only.